The role of Joseph throughout the earthly life of the Lord Jesus is very much shrouded in secrecy and silence. He appears only on 5 occasions in the gospel narratives. The first time is here in this passage that we have read, when he was contemplating the news that Mary had brought to him. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him what had happened. That's the first appearance of Joseph. The second is, of course, at the time of the Lord's birth in Bethlehem. He is there in the manger. He's there when the shepherds came. He's there when the wise men came. He's also present at the time when the Lord was circumcised in the temple at 7 days old. They took him up to the temple in order that the law might be accomplished. And then we find Joseph taking Mary and the Lord into the land of Egypt, that they might find shelter and protection from the fury and the rage of King Herod. And the last mention of Joseph is found at the time when the Lord was 12 years of age, and they took him up to the temple for the Passover season. And you remember the story, how they celebrated the Passover and then they left. And they thought all the time that the Lord was in the company with some of their kinsfolk, when all the time he was in the temple speaking to the doctors of the law, how their hearts were filled with fear and sorrow as they realized that he was not in their company and they had to return to Jerusalem. Joseph is only mentioned on these particular occasions in the early part of the earthly life of the Lord Jesus. There's no more appearance of Joseph after this time. We read of Mary. We read of their other children that they had. You remember the marriage at Cana in Galilee? It was the place where the Lord performed his first miracle. Mary was there. And when they ran out of wine, she came to the Lord and she said, "They have no wine." And the Lord performed that great miracle, the beginning of his miracles. Mary was there, but there's no mention of Joseph. And then a little later on in the earthly ministry of Christ in Matthew chapter 12, we're told of that time when Mary came with the rest of her children and they came seeking the Lord, but there's no mention of Joseph. We find Mary again at the cross. What a wonderful verse is recorded in John 19 and verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." And there she was, and the Lord, looking down at his mother and looking at the disciple whom he loved, he said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." There's no mention of Joseph. Each of those times when Mary is mentioned and referred to and Joseph is not, it has led some commentators to conclude that Joseph had at some stage died during the time of the upbringing of the Lord Jesus, his early life upon the earth. But what we must always keep in mind is that Scripture is silent on that matter. If you turn over to John chapter 6 and verse 42, you will discover in that chapter the time when the Lord was conducting his earthly ministry. And he was, you remember how he had fed the multitude. He was interpreting that miracle to refer to himself, that he was the bread of life, the bread who had come down from heaven. They could not understand it. And in response to that, in verse 42, they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" They made mention of Joseph at this time, "whose father and mother we know." And that could possibly be interpreted that Joseph was at that time still living, although we cannot say that for certain. The only thing that we can say is that the scripture information is limited. Very little detail is given to us concerning Joseph. We do know, as we read tonight in our chapter, that he was a direct descendant of King David. He could trace his descendancy all the way back to Solomon and then to King David. He was in that direct descendancy of the royal household of Judah, the family line of David. But his family had fallen upon hard times. And instead of sitting in a palace and sitting upon the throne, Joseph had to work in the carpenter's workshop. Had fallen upon hard times. What we can say is that he, like Mary, was chosen of the Lord for this special position. We've got to be careful that we do not place him on the same level as Mary. The Bible clearly states that Mary was the mother of the Lord Jesus. That within her womb was created the human nature, the body and soul, which the Son of God assumed and took into union with his deity. She was the mother of Jesus. And the Bible makes that clear. She was not the mother of God. You must never, never, never say that Mary was the mother of God. There is no mention in the Bible that she was the mother of God. That's an impossibility. And that's a blasphemy. But the Bible says she was the mother of Jesus. The human nature was created within her womb by a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit. And the Son of God took that nature into union with his deity. Joseph does not stand on that level with Mary. The Bible nowhere describes him as the father of the Lord Jesus. The Bible does record what others said of him. As we look there in John chapter 6, the people of that time, the people of that region said, "Is not this the son of Joseph? Is not his mother, his father and mother, his father and mother, we know?" They referred to Joseph as the father of the Lord Jesus, but the Bible writers themselves never referred to Joseph as the father of the Lord Jesus. If you look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 21, we want you to notice the very clear distinction with which the Bible addresses Joseph. Verse 21, "And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel," coming back from Egypt. Notice the young child is not referred to as being the child of Joseph. The young child and his mother, but Joseph is not referred to as his father. If you turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 33. Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, I want you to notice this. "And Joseph and his mother," that is the mother of Jesus, "marveled at those things which were spoken of him by Simeon." Mary is described as the mother, but Joseph is only mentioned by name. He is not the biological father of the Lord Jesus. He had no part in that whatsoever. The human nature which the Lord Jesus took into union with his deity was a human nature created by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary at that time. Joseph is not the biological father. But although he is not the biological father, he was called upon to act as a foster father. And the Bible refers to Mary and Joseph as the child's parents in Luke's Gospel. And that is a reference to the fact that Joseph, while not being the biological father, nevertheless was the foster father. That God had chosen him, just as God had chosen Mary, that in her womb would be conceived the human nature of Christ. Just as the Lord had chosen Mary, so He had chosen Joseph for this unique and special role. He would be the foster father. He would be the carer for the infant Savior. And for the Lord Jesus during the days of His childhood, as He soon would become a man. And it's that role that I want us to consider tonight. How Joseph responded to this calling. How he responded to this message and this position that the Lord had now brought him into. I think with the little information that is given, it is enough to show us the extent of the devotion that was in the heart of Joseph towards the Son of God. I want you to notice three particular aspects of his response. I want you to notice in the first place the trouble that he experienced. Let's come again to Matthew chapter 1. And you can see that Joseph's first appearance in the Bible introduces him in a state of great turmoil and great agitation of mind and heart. The angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. And the first thing that he said to Joseph was, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." Fear not. It's an indication that fear had seized his mind, that trouble was agitating his heart. He had been cast into a great turmoil, a great perplexity of mind and heart and soul. He is espoused to Mary. Espousal or betrothal, as it's otherwise known, was really the beginning of the marriage contract. It's a lot stronger significance than our engagement. When two people were espoused to each other, that espousal usually lasted a year. It was really the commencement of the marriage contract. It was a contract. It was a promise of that marriage contract, that future marriage. And here we find Joseph espoused to Mary, and Mary espoused to Joseph. And at this particular time, it has become evident that Mary is bearing a child within her womb. Verse 18 tells us, "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before that marriage contract was consummated, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." She was found with child. I want you just to stop there a moment and think what this meant to Joseph. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes tonight. Espoused to a young girl, and then he suddenly discovers that she's bearing a child in her womb. That she is with child. I tell you, it threw Joseph into a great perplexity. A great turmoil. You remember how Mary had gone to spend some time with her cousin Elizabeth after the angel Gabriel had appeared to her and announced that she was going to give birth to the Savior. She went away to spend 3 months with Elizabeth. And now she has returned, and it's evident the first signs of that pregnancy are manifested. It cannot be hid any longer. You can only begin to imagine the thoughts that must have entered Joseph's mind. What a great predicament he was thrown into. Besides this, the law of Moses was very clear and very strong upon a person who was found violating the contract of betrothal. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 22, Deuteronomy chapter 22 and the verse 23, you will find the terms of betrothal. Verse 22, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out onto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. This was concerning the time of espousal and betrothal. You see just how very clear and how very strong the terms of that contract were, and how severe the violation of it, how severe the punishment would be for the violation of it. And here is Joseph. What is he to do? Greatly troubled in his mind. He's espoused to Mary. She's found to be with child. She's told him what has happened. And he cannot put it all together. He cannot grasp it all. He cannot understand it all. He's thrown into this turmoil. What is he to think? What is he to do? You can only begin to imagine the situation that Joseph was brought into. The Bible tells us what he did not do. Isn't it interesting that Joseph is described as a just man in verse 19? Her husband being a just man, and because he was a just man, there were certain things that he did not do in reaction to this situation. He did not jump to conclusions. He did not react with impulse, or say the first thing, or accuse the first thing that came into his head. He was truly perplexed. I do not think for one moment that Joseph thought Mary had been unfaithful to him. You remember how the Bible says that love thinketh no evil. He simply could not understand this. And he did not jump to conclusions. A righteous man does not jump to conclusions. Nor did he broadcast the matter. You see, the Bible says, while he thought on these things, verse 20, it's all in his mind and in his heart. And he's not going about broadcasting the matter. He's keeping it to himself. Keeping it to himself. We do not know all the truth about any given matter, and therefore we should be slow to speak. That's exactly what Joseph was doing. He could not understand the matter. He did not have all the information and all the details, and he didn't have the understanding of it all. And he was slow to speak. He kept it within his own mind and within his own heart. Nor did he wish to publicly embarrass or humiliate Mary. We're told here that he was not willing to make her a public example. He didn't want this broadcast about, and he didn't want Mary to be embarrassed or humiliated. And so, as he was thinking, he thought the best course of action was to put her away privily, to give her a bill of divorcement as was allowed under the law of Moses. And he would do this all in secrecy. I believe it was a sign of the love that he had for Mary. And it was also a sign of the great respect that he had for her. I think that Joseph did not for one minute contemplate that Mary had been unfaithful to him. He simply could not understand what she had told him. And he's in this great turmoil, this great dilemma. But you can see how he acts as a just and a righteous man. He decides the best thing to do is to put her away privily. We're not told here, we're not informed here that Joseph prayed about the matter, but I think it can be implied. Implied from the answer that was given. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph. And I think that answer implies to us that Joseph, in his great perplexity, brought this matter to the Lord and sought the guidance of the Lord. And the Lord answered him. The Lord gave him the needed answer. And what an answer it was. Stop and consider. Put yourself in Joseph's place tonight. When we're faced with great dilemmas, when we're faced with great perplexities, when we're faced with situations that we cannot comprehend and we cannot figure out, do we react like Joseph? Oh, there's not much given to us about Joseph in the Scriptures, but what there is given is truly, truly worthy of our consideration. He was a just man. But then notice, secondly, the truth that he encountered. The Lord saw him in this great dilemma, and the Lord spoke to him in a dream. And what the Lord said cleared all his confusion. And it brought peace to his troubled heart. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Isn't it tremendous how the Lord sees us in our predicament? How the Lord sees us in our problem. How the Lord sees us in our great turmoil of mind. The Lord knows exactly what our minds are going through. The Lord sent his messenger to Joseph. And he sent him with a message that was directed to his particular situation. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Do not be afraid. Do not be troubled. Do not be agitated in your mind. Fear not, he said. The Lord knew what he was going through. And the Lord knew what he needed. And the Lord sent that message that would clear all his confusion and bring peace to his troubled heart. You see, the Word of God made the way clear. The angel said to Joseph here, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There's the answer. There's the answer. The explanation that Joseph was seeking for. The Lord has cleared the confusion. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is none other than the fulfillment of Scripture. This is God's word coming to pass. God is telling Joseph now what is taking place, what has happened within Mary, and what is going to happen. And you can see as the Lord speaks to him that all that confusion and all that vagueness and all that perplexity of mind is being cleared away. Cleared away by the Word of God. Do you see what's happening here? Do you see why this man, of whom very little is said in the Bible, do you see why he is included at this particular stage? It is that we might discover the power and the preciousness, the comfort and the peace of the Word of God. You and I may never and will never be in the exact circumstances that Joseph found himself in. We'll never be in the exact identical circumstances that Joseph was in. But we can most certainly learn from the way in which he found peace and assurance. We will have our times of perplexity, our times of turmoil, our times of trouble, our times when we cannot see ahead, when it seems as if the way is obscure and we cannot understand what is happening. We will have such times. Not the exact identical circumstances that Joseph faced, but there will be times in our lives when all will be confusion. We cannot understand. But God has placed this event in Joseph's life into the Bible to show us that the place that we will find the answer, the place that will clear the confusion and bring peace to our troubled mind, is the Word of God. God's Word settled the problem for Joseph. Here's this man in great turmoil, great agitation, and as soon as God speaks, that's it. Peace, perfect peace. Verse 24, Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. You see, before this, he's thinking in his mind, the only thing that I can do is to put Mary away privately, without any fuss, secretly. That's the only option that's open to me. But do you see how different his course of action is once the Lord has spoken? He arose and took unto him his wife. Completely different from the course of action that he was contemplating. And what made the difference? It was the Word of the Lord. It was the Word of the Lord. You see, God's Word must be the rule and the guide of our life. And when we take it as such, we will find every storm will be stilled, every angry sea will be calmed, and every problem will be solved. Joseph discovered the preciousness of the Word of God. And you and I will face many a problem in our life and many a perplexity. But the place where that perplexity will be solved is in the Word of God. God's Word. The trouble that he experienced, the truth that he encountered, but notice finally the trust that he exercised. You see, Joseph here responds with personal faith in the word that the Lord had sent to him. He believed what God had said. Did you notice that the angel of the Lord said in verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Thy singular, you Joseph, you'll call his name Jesus. This child is the Son of God. This child is God incarnate in the flesh. God who has come to be the Savior, to save his people from their sins. And isn't it wonderful when you come down to verse 25? We read of that time when she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph called his name Jesus. That's an expression, a demonstration of his faith. Here's how he's responding to this message of the incarnation. He has just been told that his espoused wife is carrying a child in her womb who is none other than the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. Joseph believed it. Joseph believed it. And when she brought forth her firstborn son, he, that is Joseph, called his name Jesus. He said, "This is the Savior." Can you picture the scene in the manger? In Bethlehem, when the Lord Jesus was born, and Joseph took the newborn Savior and held him in his arms, he said, "This is Jesus." This is the Savior. This is God manifest in flesh. He's responding with faith. And that's the way that each and every one of us must respond. When we come face to face with the message of the Incarnation, let us not despise it. Let us not reject it. Let us not relegate it. Let us not diminish it in any way. But when we sing these great carols that tell us of the Savior who has come, let us believe it with all our heart. God has come in the flesh. He has come to be the Savior of sinners. For whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Joseph responded with faith. Faith in the incarnate Savior. And then you can see that he responded to the truth of the Lord's word with prompt obedience in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. There was prompt obedience. He not only believed what the Lord had said to him by the angel, but he obeyed it. He obeyed it promptly. There was no delay here, no hesitation. The Lord has spoken. This is His word. And Joseph obeys. He took Mary, his wife. Oh, there would be much speculation. There would be reproach. But it didn't matter to Joseph. He was going to obey the word of the Lord. You know, that's one of the wonderful characteristics of this man. Though he is mentioned only a few times, every time that Joseph is mentioned, he's obeying the word of the Lord. He's obeying the word of the Lord. Look, for instance, at chapter 2 of Matthew and verse 13. You remember how Herod wanted to know where the newborn Savior was? And the Lord warned the wise men to go home a different way. Verse 13, and when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. There's prompt obedience. The Lord has told him to go into the land of Egypt, and Joseph obeys. And then when you come down to verse 19, and Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. You see his prompt obedience to the word of God? He's obeying the Lord. He's obeying the Lord. The word of the Lord. The Lord tells men to repent of their sin and flee to Christ in faith for salvation. Do not delay, but obey the word of God promptly. Flee to Christ. Turn from your sin. Seek the Lord while He may be found. The Lord comes to His people at different times, and He gives to them indication of His will. Do not delay, but promptly obey the Lord. Whatever the Lord says to you, and whatever the Lord says to me, let us obey the Lord promptly. He responded with personal faith and with prompt obedience. Then you'll notice that he responded with perpetual devotion. See, every time that Joseph's mentioned, you find him acting in relation to the well-being and the interest of the Lord Jesus. You see that in chapter 1? Take Mary. And he takes Mary as his wife. And he goes with her to Bethlehem, where the Lord is born. And then there's a threat from Herod. Herod wants to kill the young child. And the Lord says, take him into Egypt. And immediately he rises and he sets out on the long journey into Egypt. And he's there until the Lord brings word again to come into the land of Israel. And he responds. And every time you see that he's giving himself in relation to the well-being of the infant Saviour and the child whom God has entrusted to his care. Do you see the devotion? Year after year, Joseph worked in his little shop in order to provide. Year after year, he brought Mary and the Lord to the temple in Jerusalem. And you can see their care. You think of that situation when the Lord was 12 years of age and how they had brought him. In Luke chapter 2, how they brought him up to the temple and they'd gone away thinking that he was still in the company. And how sorrowful their hearts were when they discovered that he was not in their midst. Came seeking him. Mary said in verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. She was wrong in describing Joseph as his father in any biological sense. Yes, he was a foster father. But you see the sorrow of their hearts? They're concerned with his well-being. They're devoted to him. They're devoted to him. And this is not the devotion of earthly parents to their child. As honorable and commendable that devotion is, this is much greater. This is the devotion of sinners to their Savior. This is the devotion of mere creatures to their Creator. You can see how devoted he was. How devoted he was. He yielded his life to this position that God had given to him, entrusting him with the care and the well-being of the infant Savior. And all through the days of his childhood and adolescence, right up to manhood. How devoted Joseph was. But place yourself in his shoes. Place yourself in his shoes. Think of that responsibility that was laid upon his shoulders to take care of the Lord Jesus in infancy and childhood and adolescence. Think of that responsibility. And think of how he fulfilled that responsibility. Put yourself in his shoes. And imagine just for a moment if God had entrusted that care to you. If God had come to you and said, I want you to take care of my son in the days of his infancy and in the days of his childhood. Put yourself in his shoes. How would you have reacted? How would I have reacted? How would we have handled the infant Savior? How would we have tended to his bodily needs? What a trust it was. What a care entrusted to Joseph. The Lord has not given us that responsibility. It's not the infant Savior that he has entrusted to our care and keeping. But he has entrusted something. If you turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in the verse 4, the Apostle Paul speaks here not of himself only, but of his companions and of the whole church. And he says, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. We have not been entrusted with the care of the child, the infant Savior, but we have been entrusted with the care of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that that trust requires just as much devotion as the devotion that Joseph had to the Lord Jesus in his infancy and childhood. It's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how we must cherish it. And how we must provide for it, and how we must protect it, and how we must care for it. What an application there is that comes to us from the life and the testimony of Joseph. Very little information given to us about this man. The information that is given paints a picture of a man that was righteous. A man who believed the promise of the Savior. And a man who devoted his life to the cause and the care and the keeping of God incarnate in the flesh. May we follow that example. May we believe this wonderful message. And may we give the Lord our heart and our life, our everything, recognizing that He has entrusted us with the gospel of redeeming grace. I want you to take this parallel tonight and go home and think about it. Meditate on it. Think of Joseph tending to the needs of the Savior as a boy. And then apply it to the great trust that God has given to us as His people concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has put the gospel, entrusted the gospel to us in this locality. May we be devoted to Christ with the same devotion that Joseph had for Him in the days